You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You people, a team whips through a series showing dominance in class, and all everybody wants to talk about is the losing team. We start with Miami here, the team that's 8-1 in the playoffs and has heroes and hero and is now in the Eastern Conference Finals. Frank Isola, Sarah Spain, L. Duncan, prove to me you're not those people. Frank, is it possible Miami is the best team in this tournament?
I think I am one of those people. I still think the Lakers, the Clippers, even Boston may be better. But the mistake I made was underestimating Pat Riley. The team is playing well with Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Jay Crowder. Let's not forget about him. But, Tony, another key is, let's remember, in the conference finals, they would have been starting on the road at Boston or Toronto. It's a young, inexperienced team. The fact that they're in a bubble, level playing field, takes a lot of pressure off of a young team. That's been a key factor.
Okay, I recognize what you just did. You said all that nice stuff at the end, but you started by saying they're not the best team in this tournament. The team that's 8-1, that everybody remaining basically is better than them. Take note of that, Jimmy Butler. Sarah Spain, how about you?
I don't know if the not sending those young players on the road thing outweighs the fact that nobody else can get the South Beach flu, which is usually something that Miami has in its back pocket when competing. I think this team is one that has showed us that you could treat this hiatus like a second offseason or like a completely weird offseason, because some of them have returned and come together in ways that we don't only see that kind of growth and maturity happen across multiple seasons. So they are fantastic. And the prisoner of the moment in me does think it's a possibility that they could take the East and beat a Celtics team. But I still don't see them outbesting a team like the Clippers or the Lakers. So I have to be one of those people.
You are one of those people. Okay. L. Duncan, I'm going to ask you the same question. They're 8-1 in this postseason. They just ripped through Milwaukee. Is it possible Miami is playing the best basketball, is the best team in this tournament right now?
I think it's possible that they're the best team that is comprised of the Island of Misfit Toys that are still in the bubble.
Everybody's right now got jokes and got butts and got everything, man.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing is I do think, you know, despite the Bucks' ridiculous record, they matched up really well with the Bucks because everyone knows that the key to stopping the Bucks in the playoffs anyway is stopping Giannis, and they had the strength to do that between Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. I think that they came together a lot quicker than anyone expected that they would, which is fantastic, but I don't see them being better than the Clippers or the Lakers. However, they could definitely take the East, because while the Celtics certainly have a more of a four-headed monster and sometimes five-headed monster, if you will, than the Bucks did, they certainly have a size advantage down low with Bam Adebayo. In fact, the one time that they beat the Celtics this year, it's because he went off for 21 points, and they can at least keep up with him with their perimeter shooting, something that the Bucks could not do. But no, I'm not ready to crown him yet.
Of course you're not. I say again, Frank, you recognize Jimmy Butler's watching this show right now and taking notes of everything you guys just said.
Yeah. I can see that.
Miss you, Jimmy.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk about Milwaukee, because if they thought the bubble was uncomfortable, what's going to happen this offseason is about to be very uncomfortable for them. The quotes from Giannis to Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports, that if winning a championship was easy, everybody would have one, and we're going to keep working, and that he has confidence in his teammates, and that some see a wall and go in another direction, but I plow through it. We just have to get better as a team. Frank, he's saying to any talk of him leaving, it's not happening. But how do you hear him?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you spent any time around Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's incredibly loyal. I think he is speaking from his heart. I do think that he wants it to work out of Milwaukee. Tim Duncan spent his entire career in San Antonio. Kobe Bryant in L.A., I think he'd like to be one of those guys. Whether or not that happens, Milwaukee is going to need to improve that supporting cast around them. Tony, their last 14 playoff games, they were 5-9. That is not good for a team that dominates the regular season. The point guard situation right now is a mess. They need to get better. I think right now his heart is in it, but it's still about the front office going out and support and improving that supporting cast.
So you believe they're on the clock right now to prove to Giannis
yes.
in some way? Okay. Would you call this an organizational failure to date?
Well, I think it has to be, you know, because it's not about the regular season. It's what you do in the postseason. Last year, remember, they were up 2-0 on Toronto. They lost the next four games. This year, they don't even get out of this second round. They only win one game. It's a major disappointment for a team that had championship aspirations.
Sarah Spain, how did you hear Giannis and whether this is an organizational failure at this point for Milwaukee?
I think they need to know him well and know whether what he's saying right now is the emotions of a season ending prematurely, feeling connected to his teammates,
yep.
like they were in it together and disappointed each other. But there's plenty of time over the course of the next season for something to go awry and for them to figure out that they're going to lose him. I think they need to put the work in to keep him. They may be benefited by a lower cap because other teams won't be able to afford him, but they also will be hurt by it because they don't really have a lot of room to add and change pieces. They're going to have to get creative with how they try to support him. I also think they might have to look at the head coaching position here because a regular season record like that and then a lack of ability to make adjustments to a team like the Heat in the postseason falls not only on the superstar but also on the coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think he seems like a loyal guy who would like to stay there,
yeah.
and his brother is there, but you have to really think about what you're doing here because you can't lose him for nothing.
Well, a couple interesting things there from Frank and then from Sarah here. We're talking about Budenholzer as the head coach, and we're talking about that moment where an athlete says something immediately after a season, but whether that could evolve over a summer and now a fall in this case. Please join us, Duncan.
Yeah, Giannis doesn't have that Anthony Davis in him where he's going to be like, yo, I don't want to be here. Come and get me. That doesn't seem like his style. So I don't think that he's necessarily made up his mind whether he'll stay or not. But I do believe that he's going to test the free agent market. Like, I don't see him signing an extension sooner rather than later. But you talk about organizational failures. Of course it is. They traded away Malcolm Brogdon, and they have no money to bring in any reinforcements. They got a 24th pick for Malcolm Brogdon. You're telling me whoever they draft, 24th overall, is going to be able to replace what he was bringing you in perimeter shooting? It's not going to happen. And, yes, it is Coach Bud. I'm sorry. Like, he is the best coach in the NBA from October to April, but we saw it in Atlanta, and we're seeing it now with the Bucks. His ridiculousness and his inability, rather, to work with a playoff rotation and work outside of what got them there to the playoffs is always going to hamper them, in particular when you've got a star player who's a unicorn
yeah.
but doesn't even have a mid-range jumper.
That's interesting to me. Frank, can you address Budenholzer and also a move? I know you said off-air Chris Paul was a move you'd like to see them make.
I was saying that last summer, in fact, and I do think, you know, the one thing about Giannis, let's remember, he didn't play well last year against Toronto. This series is hurt in games 3 and 4, doesn't play in game 5. And the one thing that Al brought up about Malcolm Brogdon, a lot of people have mentioned him. You know, his team also got swept. Malcolm Brogdon is hurt all the time. Would I rather have Malcolm Brogdon than Eric Bledsoe? Absolutely. But he kind of gets treated, Malcolm Brogdon, like he's Scottie Pippen all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. They were 53-12, and then the stoppage came, Sarah. How much? I mean, their peripheral stats were so far ahead of the rest of the league at that point, and then the bubble comes. How much do you think of that disjointed their season?
Well, I remember before the bubble began, when we were still debating whether it would make sense for the NBA to return and what kind of asterisk would be on this playoff season if they did. And we said, if something crazy happens, like you see the Bucks
yeah.
or the Lakers or one of those favorites go out early, will you judge whether this is a legitimate competition? Now, the way that this ended with the injury and the way it kind of mirrored last year where the Bucks were a disappointment, I think the fact that the Clippers and Lakers are still in it make it feel a little bit more legitimate. But you do have to wonder, is this a fair representation of this Bucks team, or would things have been different for them had there not been a break?
You wonder.
You also have to remember that Giannis is 25.
Right.
Only 25.
Right. LeBron didn't win his first at that age. Jordan didn't win his first at that age. But you wonder whether this is a fair representation. Doesn't sound like Elle's wondering. Doesn't sound like Frank's wondering if this is a fair representation of Milwaukee. One more headline to get to here. The all-time record for playoff wins? That's a pretty big stat, right? Now belongs to LeBron James. Actually, I do want you to break that down, how big a deal that is. And also, playoff Rondo making an appearance for the first time. Lakers won this in the fourth quarter last night. Sarah, I'm going to gobsmack you. You ready? Bill Plaschke wrote in the LA Times today, this series is over. What did you see last night?
Why does he do that? Why does he do that? For such a renowned and awarded writer, you'd think he'd have a better catchphrase than one that is repeatedly disproved. But okay, Bill. I do think the Lakers are going to win this series, particularly if playoff Rondo keeps us up. The two are related. LeBron is so incredibly effective and so impressive this many years into his time in the league. He can hit that button, turn it into turbocharge. It's unbelievable to watch, and the fact that he's still doing it is, frankly, underreported. But the fact that Rondo can show up and do what he did allows him and AD and that top-heavy Lakers team to step back a little bit and let others take some of the weight. That's going to be key if they want to keep this run going.
And you believe that's real and not a mirage, not a one-game mirage from Rondo?
I don't know that it will be exactly like that from playoff Rondo, but I do believe he'll be able to play a meaningful
role. He was hitting three.
Yeah.
Duncan, how about you? What did you see last night from the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, Rondo scored or assisted, I believe, on 23 of the Lakers' final 30 points. I don't see that as, like, something that is repeatable necessarily. But to Sarah's point, I do think it's really remarkable where we're at with LeBron's career, because he had 29 points in the first half and went largely cold in terms of making buckets for the rest of the game. But what did he do instead of making an impact on the box score in that way? He had four blocks in one quarter, and his aggressiveness and the dog in him, his mentality, like, those things are important, or what's going to carry a Lakers team who is ridiculous and wins just about every single game where Anthony Davis and LeBron James go off. But even yesterday, we saw that. They had a ridiculous first half and still went into halftime down. So it's going to take players like playoff Rondo showing up in order to key them to a championship.
Frank, can you start there? The first half that El just alluded to, right? I mean, it was a combined, nearly 50 points combined for LeBron and Anthony Davis. They were trailing at the half. So what did you see from L.A. last night?
And El brought it up, the four block shots, because LeBron said at halftime, they're watching film, a lot of teams do that, they needed to get better defensively. So LeBron, instead of talking about it, he leads the way. That, to me, is an example of leadership. And the numbers you mentioned, Tony, 162 career playoff wins. How about the fact that he's played in 247 career playoff games? Yep. That's three full NBA seasons just of playoff games, and he's not hanging on by a thread. He's still dominating games. Yeah. That's what's remarkable about it. And to get a guy like Rondo, and everyone mentioned it, it's not going to happen every night, but Rondo has been through this before, and that experience comes in handy at this time of year.
You know, you can say they added postseason series, which they did, and the length of games even changed in the last generation. You know, it used to be a best of five in the first round. That's still three more seasons when you're talking about year 17. Incredible. He's already played 20. It's incredible. That is an all-time stat. You don't hear it a lot. Most wins in the playoffs, that matters. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, could there be a 346-team NCAA tournament? And what would that do to Lenardi? That would put him out of work if everybody makes the tournament. Back in 2 minutes.
Good point.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Some surprising news of the day from college basketball. A proposal to expand the NCAA tournament and open it up to every eligible team. ACC coaches want to do it, said it would be best for the students. L, would all 346 eligible teams in the tournament this year make sense?
No. literally nobody asked for this. The tournament is so perfect as it is. No one wants to expand to everyone. Listen, Coach K sort of had a very Coach K type of statement where it sounded like to me, he was basically saying, let's incentivize these kids playing through a pandemic and risking their health by saying, everyone gets a shot at the national championship. But I'm sorry, Sarah, not even Chicago State thinks that they deserve a shot at the title. That's crazy.
How dare you, El Duncan?
I'm just saying, it's ridiculous. Stop it.
Sarah Spain on all 346 in the tournament?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wasn't going to hype up Chicago State anyway. I was going to go
Sleeper
Cornell
team.
University
Sleeper
get
team.
My way back into the Sweet 16. Yeah. The part of me that is made of, like, sunshine and cinnamon says, this is great. Like, everyone should have a shot and not feel like, you know, maybe their great year is preempted by the coronavirus. But the majority of me is not made of sunshine and cinnamon. And that part says, this is for money, and this is not for the betterment of the students or for the tournament.
All right, what is the other part of you made up of? Elbows and razor blades? What do we got here?
Just, yeah. Sharp elbows and cold.
Yeah, Frank Gaisola, buy or sell every team making the tournament this year.
I'm buying it. And, Tony, just for the record, L does not want Fordham in the tournament. I would love to see Fordham make the NCAA tournament.
And
how can it be a bad idea? Woody Page has been talking about this for 18 years. Why
that would be one reason. It can go either way. Yeah. Well, I mean, the point is this year where everything is up in the air, is it wise to do that? Is there enough money to do that? Or does the money you'll make in the back? It's one more weekend. That's what it is, though. I mean, you're only playing two more games.
Then
and
you
if
won't
the
have
season's going to be short.
Then.
Yeah, potentially you might not have conference tournaments. So maybe this is the one year you go for it. More of everything? More of everything! Yes, that's what I say. We move on. Buy or sell two. U.S. Open today. Serena dropped the first set, then rallied and won the second two sets kind of quickly. So after she got more energy, she said, in the second set. Semifinals is tomorrow. She'll need even more energy. She's playing a quick turnaround. Elle, did Serena's down and up performance make you think she's got a better chance of winning this Open or a tougher chance?
Exactly the same. In pursuit of 24 since she had her baby, this has sort of been Serena. Like, we all know that her biggest opponent is herself. And so she flirts with danger and flirts with danger like she has all U.S. Open long. And sometimes it bites her like it has in the previous tournaments, and sometimes it doesn't. Today it did not, but we'll certainly see the next time she comes around. It's going to be a quick turnaround, which could certainly be tough on someone that admitted she came out with a lack of energy.
Mm-hmm. Down and up performance today. What does it mean for Serena, Sarah?
I agree with Elle that I can't say that based on today I feel any more or less confident in her ability to win, but I do think the quick turnaround is something to consider. What we've seen since that baby and in pursuit of 24 has been a lot of tournaments where she gets very, very close and just stumbles at the end. And if that's about fatigue or conditioning or focus, that's where you have to wonder about the back-to-backs. Can she get right back at it tomorrow?
And Frank, the takeaway from Serena's win today?
She tries to make it quick, too. She leads the tournament in aces. But both Elle and Sarah are right. Tomorrow, the fact that she has to play and beat either Mertens or Azarenka. And then remember, on the other side of the draw, she would either get, if she made the finals, Osaka or Jen Brady, who absolutely crushes the ball. I would love to see Brady versus Serena in the finals, because those would be two of the hardest hitting players we've ever seen.
Buy or sell three, baseball. If the season ended today, the New York Yankees would be the eighth and final team in the playoffs, barely half game up on Baltimore. In the midst of a 5-15 run with no offense, no pitching, Brian Cashman coming down from high to talk to the team for the first time in a decade and said, I believe in you, but our fans deserve better. They probably went out and lost the Jays. Frank, as far as pep talks go, where is I believe in you, but our fans deserve better from the GM? And then also, what is the deal with this team?
That was a very George Steinbrenner-like move by Brian Cashman. The good news is they're 7-0 against the Red Sox. The bad news is they're 14-21 against everybody else. The bullpen has been terrible. Gary Sanchez doesn't do anything. I think they'll make it. They'll be dangerous, but they're just going to get in.
So you'd think they can get out of this funk in time for the postseason. They're the eighth team right now in the American League, Sarah. What is this deal?
Do you remember that time I did math on the show? And I do mean that time, because I think it was just once. 2.7 games per game this year. So when you go on a slump like this, it's like a third of the season.
It is.
And that's why I don't think it's as simple to say they'll snap out of it. I think that the likelihood, you get a pep talk from somebody and then you immediately just get drilled. I don't think this is going to be a quick fix for them. I don't know if they have time.
Well, maybe they need 2.7 pep talks then, Sarah Spain. All right, so they are exactly 500 right now. I mean, is this rock bottom for this team? Should they be hitting a panic button that they don't even have a button for, L. Duncan? What is this?
Well, I find the whole thing to be incredibly ironic that it's Cashman saying, like, the fans deserve better. You could have given the fans better. It's you that made the decision to do absolutely nothing at the trade deadline and said that trying to go after a Clevenger or a Lance Lynn, that the price was way too high. Frank mentions George Steinbrenner. That's not Steinbrenner-ish at all, because the Yankees of me growing up, my generation of Yankees, would have spent any amount of money to get out of the first 20-game span.
Aaron Boone would be out of job.
That was anti-Bronx.
They'd bring Billy Martin Bronx, back at this point. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, if Steinbrenner was running this team, that would not be the pep talk that he would be giving right now, Frank. You know that better than anybody here. You know, you could say they have injuries. You can, but they just paid $250 million to Gerrit Cole, and he's not pitching to his potential. Nope. Sarah Spain, I know what your potential is, to FaceTime every show. Not today. Maybe you should have brought Banks out. Was that only HQ that Banks makes an appearance on the show? What are we doing here?
So lazy.
Frank Isola.
Yeah, you want to work overtime.
L. Duncan, showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
L. Duncan, Frank Isola, good luck in showdown. Billy Donovan out in OKC. They just went 7 games in 47 minutes and 58 seconds with Houston, and he was just third in Coach of the Year. And he's linked as a possibility, at least, for Philadelphia. And Chicago, Frank, makes sense of this meet, and how attractive is Donovan for that next job?
It sounds like OKC is going to start a rebuild. Maybe he doesn't want to be part of that. I think he'd do great in either place. If Bill Self were to take the OKC job, don't rule out Billy Donovan maybe going to Kansas.
El?
Okay, well, I mean, but Billy Donovan was lured out of college where he was very successful for the chances of winning a championship with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant on the roster. So why then would you go to a team that's headlined by a guy named Zach LaVine? No offense, Sarah Spain, I'm just saying. Go to the
Chicago. Wow, you really are taking shots at Chicago. Yeah. You think Philly's a destination. That Self for Donovan trade, because in a sense, that would be OKC in Kansas. That's intriguing. Point Frank Isola, showdown two. Well, game four tonight between the Clippers and Nuggets. You know my theory. There are more game fours than game fives. And game six tonight, Celtics-Raptors. You know my theory. There are more all-time game sixes than game sevens. Let's focus on that one, L. Duncan. Can Toronto stave off elimination and make this a seven-game series, or you got Boston tonight?
Absolutely. In that last game, they were trotting out lineups they've literally never put on the floor before and got zero contributions from Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam. That's not going to happen, two straight games. I think they can win tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frank? Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. But here's the thing. Pascal Siakam needs to play better. He has not played well in the bubble. Even his coach called him out for that. It's put-up time for Pascal Siakam.
Nurse did do that. He did call out Siakam. Who said that first? Never underestimate the heart of a champion, Frank Isola.
Rudy Tomjanovich.
That's correct, and that's the FaceTime to Isola.
Wow. How lucky did I get? Well, I don't know what's going on in the world of the New England Patriots, a team that I really do like because of Bill Belichick. Tom Brady's gone. I'm watching the BYU-Navy game the other night. Bill Belichick is doing an interview where he wouldn't get off the air. That's how much things have changed. And now Aqib Talib was asked if he wanted to come back and unretire, and he turned down the Patriots. Why? Because he said he's taking his talents to the booth. He's going to become, get this, he's going to have his own podcast. Why? Because everyone has a podcast. Good luck in retirement. Welcome to the world of podcasting.
Frank, do you like asking rhetorical questions? Why? Because you just did about four times that. I am immediately regretting and underestimating the heart of that champion, Frank Isola. That's it, guys. Al, Sarah, very good. Thanks.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.